Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's press conference of Allianz SE on the presentation of the financial figures for the second quarter 2010. For your information, this conference will be taped. And I will now hand over to Mr. Gali Tugaro, who will lead the press conference. Good morning, everybody, and thank you very much for joining our conference call. We will start with Mr. Diekmann, and afterwards Mr. Bethe will guide you through the current figures. But first of all, we have Mr. Diekmann. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Telephone conference for the second quarter of 2010. Well, in talking about the coming up World Cats Day, I can report to you that it's raining cats and dogs here in Munich, but that shouldn't take anything away from the basic statements that I will present you today. Then we will talk about the general regulatory framework and the strategic positioning of Allianz in the global framework and explain our outlook. Then Mr. Bethe will guide you through the figures in the detailed way, and I would like to start with the most important figures of the second quarter. Allianz has maintained the positive trend of the first quarter 2010, and I'm especially glad the total revenues compared to the previous quarter grew at a double-digit rate to over 25 billion euros. Therefore, in the first half year, we have 56 billion euros in revenues, which is a great result. The operating result improved by almost 23% to 2.2 billion euros, and it is I'm especially glad that all these segments contributed to this. Life, health, and asset management showed a great result, but also in PC, in spite of heavy burdens from natural catastrophes, we've shown a great improvement, and therefore in the second quarter and in the first half of the year, overall we had what we believe is a great result. In PLC, the burden from NatCat in the first half of the year amounts to approximately 800 million euros, which is clearly above the average NatCat burden of the first half years ever since the year 2000, but this is not a special development in the Allianz portfolio, but it is a general market development in the first 6 months of the year 2010, as you could see from the analysis that Munich Re published at the beginning of July. But in spite of these extraordinary claims, we reached a positive quarterly development in P&C, which can also be seen in the combined ratio of 96.3%. In asset management, we're looking back at 10 years of a successful process since the takeover of PIMCO, but I will go into more detail on this later on. In life health, we're profiting from strong revenue growth in the traditional but also in the capital markets targeted business across the world. And let me just say a few words about our health insurance business in Germany. As you know, a short while ago, the Federal Administrative Court decided that when changing into another tariff, no flat risk surcharges charge might be levied. Those were levied to make a tariff change between differently structured tariffs possible and to reduce burdens for the community of policyholders. That path was not only supported or shown by renowned legal experts, but also upheld in the court of first instance. And we as companies are in need of certainty of the law when we're calculating our tariffs. As the first judgment was repealed, we will now have to newly calculate the tariffs in question, and Allianz Germany will report on this topic when they present their half-year figures. And that brings me back to the results of the second quarter. On the group level, we had a quarterly surplus of 1.1 billion euros, and the reduction compared to the previous year's quarter is due to the fact that in the second quarter of this year, we realized less gains from capital investments than in the previous year. The operating strength of Allianz gives us just the right degree of flexibility to take the right long-term decisions on the investment side. When we look at the first half year in general, we can see that we had very good developments in turnover and in our operating result, which increased to 3.9 billion euros, and these are 54% of the approximately 7.2 billion euros with a range of 500 million euros plus or minus that we had planned for the year as a whole. And what's also very positive for us is our strong solvency ratio that continues to be at 170%. If we take all this together, these figures prove the stability that our company, that our customers and our shareholders can gain from our geographic and segmentary diversification. So our broad positioning makes us gives us strength for customers, employees, and shareholders. 1 year ago, I talked about our what I used to call the new normal, and some of the characteristics I had mentioned at the time now come into shape, and therefore I just want to update our view on the economic and political topics and then explain to you how we set up our global segments in these areas. First of all, let me take a look at the global economic recovery. It continues as we had expected it to be, but nevertheless, we don't see a self-sufficient recovery, especially since the U.S. economy sends mixed economic signals. 1 year ago, I had underlined that the high growth rates of the past couldn't be continued over the short-term view. So for the coming quarters, we're expecting only moderate growth rates on a global basis, but we don't see a setback into recession, as you can learn from our slide 3. We're glad that many of the concerns that many experts had haven't come up and that our slightly positive lookout turned out to be right. Asia, without Japan, is still a region with a high dynamism of growth, but also Latin America presents itself as an economically stable region with positive growth rates. And in Eastern Europe, the economic lookout has also slightly brightened. In Europe, we have to deal with our own challenges, especially the high budget deficits of some European states over the last months led to a wealth of discussion about the future of the European Monetary Union. The EU is now facing some challenges they have to overcome. The current challenge is that the high budget deficits are lowered, and for this budget controls are necessary. And we also need to do more to strengthen the competitiveness of some of the countries. Moreover, Europe will have to reform the Growth and Stability Pact to avoid an overflowing of budget deficits. And the consolidation steps that many governments have taken up, from our point of view, offer us the opportunity to master or to overcome this crisis. So it remains at what we call the new normal, and in this situation, we as Allianz, for us as Allianz, the capital base and the size of our company and our flexibility are these the most important factors to deal successfully with this economic situation. Following the financial crisis, there were a few new impulses of governments and the European Commission to regulate the insurance industry. For time reasons, I don't want to go into all the elements that are mentioned on slide 5, but just one element I would like to mention. First, on the topic of safety and security, it's correct that our insurance business should have a more strict economic risk management or risk control, and that is why we at Allianz have had our own stress tests for years, and that is why we also have supported Solvency II from the very beginning. We also support the trend to standardize accounting because from an investor and customer view, this leads to a better comparability of companies. But nevertheless, we also underline the negative influences this could have based on today's knowledge. And we believe that three developments have to be changed that are part of the discussions right now. We have to avoid excessive capital requirements, a high volatility in accounting, and the support of pro-cyclical behavior. So we think that there is need for intensive discussions, and this could possibly change the timeline for the introduction of Solvency II. Then a few words on the new structure of insurance regulations. We believe that the discussion about the future structure doesn't talk enough about the aspect of quality, and this quality has to be maintained by the employees of the regulatory authorities, but also through the institutional framework, and that is why we think there should be an approach where solvency and market regulation is in one hand, and an integrated insurance regulator can judge best about the most important risks of the insurance segment that stem from the business model. And the separation between market and solvency regulation would be a clear step back. Let me now come back to the business of Allianz. If we look over at the long-term development, we can see that apart from increasing our local businesses, we were able to develop global business segments in which we have very strong growth positions. In 44 local markets, but also in our four global segments, we belong to the six largest companies in these segments. And with our global presence, we are able once and again to set off negative special trends in individual segments or regions. And Allianz is also strong because we, in spite of our professional caution, we always take into account the medium and long-term development lines. And that is the part of this is the globalization of the global economy. And on slide 7, you can see our global business lines of Allianz Group. They all have three strategic approaches in common. They all have a global management, a global business model, where on the customer side, we also see global purchasers, on the other hand. Then the second point is that they all offer their customers centralized key account managers, and thirdly, they enable the build-up and strengthening of specialized teams and of systems that the individual country companies couldn't at all offer for their special topics. One example is that our industrial insurer, AGCS, offers the customer a key account manager as the central point of contact, and these managers are responsible for the risk management and preventive measures in the different AGCS segments, but also for the support of AGCS branches around the world, and therefore customers can rely on a systematic quality or stable quality of AGCS performances around the world. Another example, Allianz is one of the largest motor insurers around the world and market leader in the cooperation with car manufacturers. And the cooperation with car manufacturers is an important growth market in which we are investing. Over the medium term, we want to raise premium income here from 1.5 to 2 billion euros, and that can tell you that we've just agreed with Volkswagen that we will continue our existing and successful partnership, which has existed for 60 years, and we will extend this and increase it. And both companies showed their interest in an intensification of the cooperation. Our global lines, such as Mondial Euler Hermes or AGCS, often offer solutions that combine insurances with specific services, and that's why we're convinced that these business segments will continue to grow above market average. The reasons for this are in the combination with new services and in the growing demand for service providers who are able to deal globally, and that is what we can satisfy. This demand is what we can satisfy with our global lines. On the 8th slide, you can see the development of our global business lines, and right now these segments are responsible for 1/3 of our operating result, and this amount will continue due to the strong revenue growth. On slide 9, you can see the revenue growth in our global business lines. For example, in Mondial Assurance, 10 years ago we started to build up our asset management business, and for this we acquired companies such as DIT and PIMCO, and the combination with strong brands such as RCM, NFJ, and PIMCO under the auspices of AGI turns into one of the largest active asset managers worldwide, and that is what helped us to create a business model that also supports internal competition. The development of our assets under management proves the success of our strategy to offer different brands and products across the world, and the combination of our expertise on the segments insurance, asset management, and pension solutions offers us a fantastic position in the overall old age provision business. Asset management, as our other global business segments, supports the business model of Allianz and helps us to set up difficult cycles in P&C, for example. But on the other hand, the global business segments of Allianz support our strong position in many local markets of the world, so it's a real win-win combination. Our strength as a financial community is based on the combination between local and global business units, and this is supported by our great capital strength, our conservative investment profile, and our broad geographic setup. Ladies and gentlemen, let me now talk about the outlook for 2010. After 6 months, the situation is as follows. In the first half of the year, we had great results, and I'm optimistic that we will be able to reach our planned operating result of approximately 7.2 billion euros with a range of 500 million euros plus or minus. And for some reasons that Mr. Bethe will explain in his presentation, we believe that the operating result of the first half year, 3.9 billion, shouldn't just be doubled for an estimate of the operating result. And I would now like to hand over to Mr. Bethe, who will lead you through the quarterly figures in detail.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I've had the pleasure to explain the second quarter figures. I'd like to ask you to take the document I distributed. Let me start with page 3, trying to summarize the key information for the half year. Our double-digit revenue growth to 25.4 billion euros, with a strong operating profit to growing to 2.2 billion, and the net income is at 1.1 billion. Because of lower capital gains that we choose deliberately, and also we have a very good strong capital position with a solvency ratio amounting to 170%. On page 4, you can see the quarterly results along the major financial figures, our total revenues, operating profit, and the net income. You can nicely see the development over the previous year. So our total revenues have been increased by 14.5%, adjusted by foreign exchange fluctuations. The operating profit was 22.7%, which is much lower, which was characterized by the purchase of shares of ICBC from China and the assessment of our investment in Hartford, which materially driven up the operating profit in 2009. On page 5, you can see the strong capitalization. Then you can see the equity on the left-hand side. The right-hand side shows the conglomerate of solvency. Further to equity, we have roughly 44 billion euros, increased by 1% as compared to the first quarter. This seems to be a lower figure, but you need to consider that we paid a dividend for Allianz amounting to 1.85 billion euros, and so the second quarter, which is in the accounts on a negative basis. Solvability has now increased by 2 percentage points to now 170%. I'd like to pay your attention to the revenues of the group. In P&C, life and health, and asset management sectors. On total, based on the internal growth, the adjustment of the growth rates, and also in this quarter, the foreign exchange effects are quite important, increased by 10.8%. P&C was flat after foreign exchange. Life and health still growing considerably with 16.2%. Asset management, that is quite a good result, and asset management exceeded that good profit, grown by 43.7%, which is a very, very strong value. Page 8, you see the structure of the strong operating profit. P&C, after 28.2% increase, doubling the result to 516 million euros in asset management, and life and health, the result is 730. To explain, we expected an operating profit of 2.8 billion in life and health, and the 713 correspond to an average throughout the quarters according to our target figures. The 99 million in 2009 was driven positively by one-off effects in the U.S. life insurance and also in France. We had credit spread developments and the development of the so-called fair value options. We gained positive effects which have not been repeated this year. In the era of corporate and other, the result has improved significantly. Building up the Allianz Bank costs are no longer available. That is positive, and we have a hedging program in order to control foreign exchange volatility, which shows a positive effect as well. So in total, we had 2.91 billion euros in this quarter. On page 9, this is, I think, the most complicated page in this presentation. You see the development of the non-operating items as compared between the various quarters. And you can nicely see the development as compared to the previous year in the net income. And the first line, realized gains, losses, and impairments of investments on a net basis. And this is being shown in more detail on the right-hand side in realized gains and impairments. And you can nicely see in the previous quarter we had 898 million euros realized profit from sale of equities, and this value was at 177 million euros in the second quarter. Let me dwell on that. We, of course, were faced with a share market crash in the month of May. We were quite careful in the environment of the second quarter, and we didn't want to burden our future by short-term realization. That's why we were quite careful with realizations in the second quarter. As it comes to the other items in the development of the non-operating items, interest expense is on the expected level with minus 220 million euros, fully consolidated private equity investment minus 15%, 15 million, which is an improvement as compared to the difficult environment of 2009. Restructuring charges are basically in plan with minus 42. And there are two other items which are worth mentioning and that should be explained. First of all, the acquisition-related expenses, and the other non-operating expenses. Acquisition-related expenses basically include 70 million of changes which are due to the acquisition of the so-called buy shares, which are acquisitions for expenses for equity because the price for this buy shares is developing in parallel to the operative profitability. That's why this the value is increasing, because this shows a dramatically increased profitability of PIMCO. The other non-operating items have to be included. I include the volatility of the warrants of Hartford in the U.S., which is one item. As opposed to the previous year, we had a massive deterioration based on the share value that was dropped. apart for it in the second quarter. That's why 167 million euros due to the capital market development in the second quarter. That was no surprise. In the third quarter, the value has massively recovered. The share price of Hartford was above $24 yesterday, which is due to the fact that there was a volatility in the share price. And warrants are always more volatile than the underlying share, and which is a normal thing in a market-to-market evaluation. On the right-hand side, two further information which shows about the solvency of Allianz at this stage. There's an information about balance of unrealized gains and losses in equities, and by the end of the 2.6 billion euros, and which is dramatically higher than the 2.8 billion of the quarter of the last year. On page 10, please, you can see the development of the net income as is for the quarter. 2.191 operating result, operating profit. After non-operating items, we reach 1.085, and also this has been increased because the share of the credit insurance. These were the group figures, and I'd like to come to the individual business segments. Starting on page 12, P&C, well, the summary shows the revenue of 10 billion euros, operating profit is increased by 28% to 1.147 billion euros, and the combined ratio is 96.3%. The net cat impact, which particularly hit us in the first quarter, unfortunately continues in the second quarter. I'm going to talk about that in more detail. On page 13, you see the development of the revenues in the various markets. We show a quite heterogeneous picture. We're growing in markets where the economic environments and the margins are attractive, including South America, UK, and Australia, and also in Asia Pacific. We're growing where the margins are good. In other countries, where the margins are still characterized by overcapacities and strong competition, like in Germany and France, or where regulations, like in Italy, raise a negative burden, we have to give up revenues in order to safeguard our margins. Page 14, this is describing the operating profit. And I'd like to steer attention to the right-hand side. You see the profit drivers. The operating is shown about in underwriting and the investments. Both components, as compared to the previous year, have significantly increased. In the underwriting business, the upswing in credit insurers is shown after large burdens in the previous years. Euler-Hermes is developing quite nicely again. We had lower burdens from NatCats, from major damages, which hit us very much in the past year. They seem to vanish slowly and hopefully sustainably. And also, this also reflects the higher result here. Then on page 15, you see the combined ratios for the second quarter was at 68.6%, and the cost quarter was 27.7%. And you can see the figures for the individual countries on the right-hand side still in growth, but also in terms of profitability, we can show a heterogeneous picture. Germany, France, and Italy, very much important countries in continental Europe, but also in middle Europe, in the central Europe, where we have sometimes 100% overcapacity in the markets with the strong competition that goes on in these markets, and we have to keep on working hard in order to improve our results. On the other hand, we have very strong results we obtained in Switzerland, in Spain, South America, in AGCS, and then the UK, and also in Australia, where our profitability is outstanding, and the weaknesses that we still have faced in one of our core countries were more than overcomplicated. Page 16, just to mention this for the technically interested colleagues among you, we particularly, in discussing with our investment, we strongly focus on how the development, how does a key figure that we call accident year loss ratio, adjusted by the results by the previous year, which is shown in the upper left part of page 16, we differentiate between the figures including NatCats and excluding NatCats. The red curve nicely shows the very high burden that we faced in the first quarter from NatCat damages, and also in the second quarter we are above the long-term trend. What you can also see is excluding NatCat, our loss ratio is stabilizing to below 71%, which is a good development reflected on the development in second quarter, page 16. You can see the changes of the loss ratio between the previous year and the second quarter of this year. We still, and that's because of the plus 1.5, we had an additional burden from the NatCats in loss ratio above the previous year level, which was a negative trend, but this is largely offset by positive developments coming from three dimensions. So significantly improvement of credit insurance, improvement by increased prices, which we'll be able to achieve, and also a significant improvement of the frequency and the amount of damages. So the measures taken last year seem to materialize and seem to be reflected now in the financial results. Runoff for the quarter is extremely high with 4.2% as opposed to the long-term mean, but it's not exceptionally high. Because if you look at the individual effects, because it's largely coming from runoffs from credit insurances. And credit insurances show a very low combined ratio with 67.4%. Cutting this by half versus the previous year, and runoffs in credit insurance is 32.7%, which is a one-time effect, which is not managed, basically coming from the development of damages and losses from the economic crisis. In fact, it's a high value, but it's a normal trend. On page 17, you can see the development of our expenses in P&C. With 27.7, we are below the previous year value, and for the first time ever, on the administrative expenses in France, in Italy, and Germany, we had a decline of 30 million euros in these countries. On page 18, you can see the development of the investment income, including here we make a difference between the operating investment income of the HO result. You can find this in the operating and non-operating part. I just described there are three important interests and similar and other stabilization is nice despite declining interest on the capital market. We were able to stabilize our interest result based on 941 million euros for quarter two. Page 19 shows another important portfolio for us. The key figure on the right-hand side is the current yield. Only if our asset base is increasing, we can still render operating investment results despite a shrinking interest. Now, after it has been shrinking for 1 year, it's increasing by 7.5%, and adjusted by foreign exchange effects, it's really growing reasonably. That was what I wanted to say about P&C, and I'd like to steer your attention to pages 21 and the following one, on life and health. Revenues up 16.2% to now 14.1 billion euros. The operating profit is, according to budget, to 713 million euros. Million euros, and the operating base up to 11 billion euros to 414 billion euros. The value of new business of 447 million euros, and the new business margin with this interest environment is now at 2.2%. On page 22. We can see, we believe, a very compelling picture for Allianz, quite convincing. Different than previous years, we see growth that's not only strong. On the left-hand side, you see nominal growth of 20%, adjusted by foreign exchange effect 16.2 still. But on the right-hand side, apart from Switzerland and the Netherlands, where we have really unattractive market environment with very low margins, sometimes even negative margins, that's why we don't want to grow there. But in all the other segments of our life portfolio, we see a very strong life. That reflects the trust into Allianz and into the product after many years where people were speculating. People look for a rather safe profit, and the IFRS premiums are growing significantly, but also an asset-related product. So those that offer a guarantee like Allianz with a capital base can reflect. And on page 23, you can see the operating profit, the components here. As we said before, we had a negative swing deficit in the investment result, which was an accounting effect. 267 million negative swings come from the change of credit spreads and interest changes that we had seen in the U.S. as compared to the previous year quarter, and also coming from a change of the so-called fair values in France, amounting to 175 million that have not repeated this year. Positive item is the development of our cost results, and there's more and more efficiency becoming a factor that is important in life insurance. We make sure that on the cost side we can make gains them more, so we should spend less money than is calculated into the product. That not only refers to our shareholders but also to our customers. Life and health, the investment income is now 3.8 billion euros. The most important component, like in other insurances, interest and similar income, so from 3.6 and now increased to 3.9, and the realization expenses, we have been quite careful with realization. The second quarter we now have 10 billion euros, and the investment expenses are at 184 million euros. On page 25, you can see a list that we have a close eye on. These are the positive net inflows. It's not only important that the asset base is increasing, but also that we have net income and net inflows from our clients. And you can nicely see we profited from foreign exchange effects and net inflows, interest and similar income compensated by market effects because of the capital market crash in the second quarter, the small one. Nevertheless, the net inflows were quite positive with 2.4 billion, and also in Allianz Life and also in Italy, in the US and Asia Pacific, we were able to see significant net inflows. Page 26 shows the total asset base. Assets for the traditional life insurance have increased to 338 million euros, or 15.6%. And page 27 shows the strong new business margin in all regions. In all, we have positive margins. Despite this lower interest rate, it is positive. This might change in the future quarters if we still have less gains from interest investments, and that might lead to some portfolios or items to become negative, but we still plan to have new business margins in life despite a very difficult interest environment. That was the life and health segment. Now let me talk about asset management. This description is starting on page 29. On page 29 you see the key figures. The third-party asset under management now exceed more than 1,100 billion euros. The total asset under management now surpassing 1.4 billion euros. The net inflows is at 23 billion euros for third-party net inflows, and the outstanding operating profit was at 516 million euros with a cost-income ratio of 56.6%, which is a top value in the industry. On page 30, you see the third-party assets under management increased by 40%, and 29% related to the values, and that it's 145 million, and a fixed income is at 99.2. On page 31, you can see the net inflows after record highs in the previous quarter, still strong inflows. The exact value is at 22.6 billion euros. And the net fee and commission income has gone up by 58%, almost 49% internally, to now 1.188 billion commission income, which is a top value as well. And page 33, this has translated into the operating profit, doubling to 516 million euros after the absolute top value in the fourth quarter 2009, very close to that top value. $500 million per quarter. That is really an outstanding result. More profit drivings are net fee incomes, and the higher operating expenses means that you need more people to manage these more assets and also share, providing a share to the employees in the result. 34 describes the drivers for the business. So in fixed income we have 45.1, and the performance is our performance ratio of 90%, an absolutely top value, and the operating result is now 79 to 443 million in operating profit. So we have an increase of 4.8, and the outperformance is at 62%, and the operating result is at 25 million after a loss in the previous year. Very difficult environment still, and significantly corrections on a cost basis now. It's now profitable on a permanent basis and according to plan. On page 36, you can see an additional information, which normally is not known to many people who would look at that. What we show here is the growth and the net income contribution to Allianz Group of the various entities. For the net income of the surplus. In the past, they said, okay, everything is great, but then the net income after all these expenses is relatively low. This is no longer the case because of the Bionet and the changes of the result structure, we were able to increase the result by more than double, 230 net income of contribution to the Allianz Group in this quarter alone. The share of asset management in the group surplus is increased by 14%, significantly above the previous years, and is supposed to go on like that. So let me summarize on page 38. That's where we're standing, like Mr. Dickmann has outlined this already with regard to our outlook. So we believe we're on track. We have a double-digit revenue growth to 25 billion, now 56 billion now for the half year. The operating profit is 2.2 billion. And the net income quarterly was 1.1 billion below the previous year, is now totaling up to 2.7 billion euros now, and a strong capital position with a solvency ratio of 170% still is very excellent, and we're at the top of the industry. Thank you very much for your attention.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're now ready for the question and answer. Santosh will be explained to you in a minute. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, today's question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function in your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press asterisk 1 to ask a question. And we have a first question from Mr. Fleming of Börsen-Zeitung. Good morning, Mr. Dickmann, Mr. Three questions. First of all, Mr. Dickmann, you said at the beginning that the assumptions of the new normal, as you called it, have turned out to be true. But if you look around, you see record profits all around, and the mood is very good. So isn't there a bit of disappointment from your point of view? Then the second point, your solvency ratio is at 170%. That's the upper edge of the bandwidth you set yourself. So do you think that more liquidity should be passed out to all the stakeholders? And the third one goes to P&C, property and casualty. Mr. Bethe, at the beginning of the year you had a ratio of 96.6 that was aimed at, and now you're at 98.4. So can these 96.5% still be reached, and the runoff profits in the credit insurance that you had called the one off effect, couldn't they be expected for the next quarter as well? Well, Mr. Fleming, you're right. The economic development in the first half of the year from the point of view of Germany, especially of the German industry, was highly positive. I think there are different reasons for this in different industrial segments. First of all, sometimes this has to do with inventories, but then also with catch-up effects that we're seeing now. So I would wish to see the same growth rates in the second half of the year, but I think we have to be a little cautious there, and that's why I underlined that we get mixed signals from the United States and a global economic recovery that is only based on the strength of China and the surrounding countries cannot be sustainable on a global basis, I would say. So I think we have to be cautious, but nevertheless, it's true. The first half of the year was exceptionally good, especially for the German economy. Can I ask another question here? Yes, of course. You had announced that for Allianz, the second quarter wouldn't be that great, and you would explain the reasons for this. At least that's what I heard. To be honest, I can't remember having said something like this. But you stated that in the first half of the year, the result of 3.9 could be doubled for the overall year, and this would be explained by Mr. Bethe. Yeah, we underlined the different topics, like the development of the capital markets, and you can see that the investment part accounts for two-thirds of our net income right now, and therefore, it's right to say that we shouldn't just double the value of the first half year for the overall year. We have growth rates in some business lines that you can't just continue like this. I mean, growth in life health is depending strongly on the other alternative investment options customers have. This doesn't have an immediate effect on the result, but nevertheless on the revenues at least. And the question of solvency ratio, we said below 70% would be our target value, the upper level. And we said that we see room for improving dividends or so, but we have different surroundings right now. And with the topic Solvency II, we just need to make sure what's going on in this regard. And I think towards the end of the year, many of the elements that are in question right now will be solved by the end of the year. Okay, thank you. And Mr. Fleming, you asked about the topic of runoff, how this would continue, and our combined ratio for P&C. We had the aim to reduce it to 96.5, but this was before we had the exceptional burdens from NatCats that didn't just have an effect only in the first quarter, but also in the second quarter as well. We had storm claims from Saxony, so it doesn't always have to be Chile or somewhere in the somewhere around the world, but sometimes it's also close at home. But then for the operating result, we said, well, we think that we can reach our forecast of between 4 and 5 billion for P&C, and we believe that this is realistic. Many elements play into this: the development of expenses, the development of the loss ratio, and of course also the runoff results. And we said that we wanted to price our portfolio in a way that we have a 2-point runoff ratio that's possible, and the long-term average of Allianz for the last years was above 3%, and we will see further runoff from income from credit insurance, and runoff will have to be above 2.5%, but I can't give you any forecast because these figures are developing from the portfolio. Then in well-managed P&C portfolios, in crisis you are taking an extremely cautious approach, and that is what we see in the runoff of credit insurance and also in France, where we had higher runoff than and a conservative reserve approach in the previous years reflected by this. Another point on solvency: in calculating solvency ratios, we have balance sheet reserves in real estate that we included into this, and they are responsible for 9 percentage points of this ratio. And these reserves are only calculated if you ask BaFin, the regulatory authority, for this. And then outside the solvency calculations that we do based on the conglomerate directive, the rating has also an effect on this, and the low interest rate leads due to the fact that we have to have enough capitalization and have to be cautious. Okay, and if you're, could this mean that you won't ask a BaFin for this in the future? Well, we haven't so far. This is something we have to apply for. It's only taken into account for the calculation of this ratio, and so it's important to take this into account when you judge about the evaluate the quality in under these difficult surroundings. And the next point I would like to mention is there are three capital positions that we take a close look at. The conglomerate directive as one of the most important regulatory frameworks we have to take into account, and then the internal model that we're using, and then we have our rating partners, Standard & Poor's, that we have to take into account, and we are one of the few companies with double A rating and a stable outlook, and now the rating agencies have changed their requirements, and we have to take this into account because they've become more stricter, and Moody's and other rating agencies are also looking for the capital requirements much more. Therefore, we're not in the surroundings where we can play around with the solvency that we have and with the capital that we have, but we have to take a cautious approach here. Okay, thank you. Next question, please. Next question is by Herbert Fromme from Financial Times, Germany. Good morning, gentlemen. A few questions. First of all, I would like to know if you're satisfied with the development of your stock price, or would you think about the fact that the development is clearly below the DAX in line with other insurances, but nevertheless. Then I would be interested whether your global business lines will be further extended. And what gets me to this is the fact that Mr. Krede will change to Allianz Insurance and there will be responsible for the global business with car manufacturers. So do you want to open further business segments as a global platform? And could you imagine doing something like Zurich, that you have one insurance with branches across Europe? Then in the United States, costs have grown in segments in the second quarter. What's that? And then the low interest rate trend. What if the interest remained low for 2 or 3 years to come? Okay, Mr. Froman, I think what we're seeing in the figures is that the global business lines that we've opened up have a very good development, and that's what I try to explain to you, that the point of view of purchasers, we also have global customers, and the fact that the car industry was switched back from AGCS to Allianz Germany is most of all due to the fact that the large portfolio that we have in this area is in Germany, and nevertheless the international approach is being extended. I've led many negotiations with car manufacturers also outside Germany, and there is the requirement for an international provider. This is a gap that we could tap that is really promising, I would say. Then let me come to the United States. In the United States, there were several developments. First of all, a very weak pricing development, a soft market. There were several smaller natural events, net cats, and we have a pretty high expense ratio, which is due to the fact that we had to invest in infrastructure, and we wanted to gain new business by this, but now we're in a soft phase of the market, and that's why we turned this back a little bit. 36% is nevertheless a large figure, right? Yeah, absolutely, we're not satisfied with the development, but Mr. Norman is just checking whether your 36% are Correct. 33.5, he says. But nevertheless, in the business report, it says for the half year, 36 for PC. Well, anyway, it's too high, no doubt about that, and that's one of the topics that we will focus on. But to go with high pressure into a soft market is not something we want to do. Then the question, if we could imagine doing something like Zurich, well, this could be one of the activities that come into play to do in order to deal with Solvency II. This is something we tested in some of our segments in the credit insurance and with Mondial, and therefore we have the necessary experience to deal with something like that in the foreseeable future, but no decisions have been taken so far. And would this then be in Germany, Dublin, or Luxembourg? As I said, there haven't been any decisions on this, and if we had a decision, we would, of course, let you know. Okay, and Mr. Fromme, let you also talk about the low interest rates. What's the effect of this? And this also has to deal with the stock price, of course. Well, the low interest rates, that is a challenge for us compared to the banks who aren't that much interested in this. And therefore, low interest rates affect our nominal business. But we have to differentiate between the segments, P&C, life, health, and asset management. In P&C, the interest rate result has an effect of up to 60% on the overall results, so therefore this leads to additional expense or cost pressure, and that is why on the claims and expense side we have to improve our productivity. In life health, so in the traditional products, the pressure comes up through the guarantees, and that's why we have to make sure that we grow on the asset base and support our balance sheets. And that's why it isn't good if one or the other insurers use their dormant reserves to import their results right now. We have to maintain these dormant reserves to offer our customers attractive conditions. As I said, calculated last year, we can withstand an interest rate level of 1% for 18 years, but that doesn't help at the end of the day, because I don't think too many companies will be able to do this. But nevertheless, the difference of interest rates will also have a high effect on fixed income, so we're calculating with great results there. So in sum, that is a challenge that I think we're well set up to face. Okay, Mr. Fromme, there's one question that remains, I believe, the stock price. Well, let me give you my subjective view. I would say that we're doing quite well, and I told you last year when you asked for a similar question that towards the end of the year you will have to see what we've done, and I think we will take a great step forward, which won't remind us of the great steps forward of previous years, but that's the new normal I was referring to. So towards the end of the year we'll see how we'll develop. Okay, DAX is at 85% of the level of 10 years ago, and Allianz is at 23%. Well, I can't calculate this now, Mr. Fromme, but it's the question where you stood of the starting point, I would say. But why? What's the reason for this, that you're so much worse than the DAX development? Well, our performance wasn't that much weaker than the DAX. That's the same question you asked 1 year ago. Yeah, and then the questions will come again, Mr. Diekmann. Yeah, that's okay. And I like to face these questions once and again, Mr. Fromme, but nevertheless, we are in an industrial situation out there which is influenced by several factors. The interest rate situation, for example, and that influences all our peers. And in the framework of the performance of our peers, I think we have a good performance. Okay, thank you very much. Next question, please. The next question is by Christian Krämer of Reuters. Good morning, gentlemen. Three questions. First of all, the combined ratio in P&C, the 96.5 you were aiming at. We had a question before, but I would say the answer wasn't that clear as we are used to, Mr. Bethe. The way I understood it is that you didn't repeat this goal any longer. So could you just make clear whether this could be reached or not? Then the second point, the equity ratio, where are you standing now? Where do you want to go to? What's the trend? And then the third try, last time we talked, Prudential tried to buy AFG Asia. The deal is now off, so this could be acquired theoretically. And if I understand what you told us over the last 2 months, this would be too large for you and couldn't be a topic for Allianz. Is that correct? Okay, let me start with the last question, whether this would be too large for us. Well, I wouldn't put it like this. I've always told that you can't tell an investor that you're taking a large large investment in a life insurer when you're not certain about the regulations that will come up with Solvency II. So independent of the attractiveness of this asset, currently an acquisition like this, especially in life health, before Solvency II requirements haven't been established, is not possible. Mr. Bethe, you want to answer the other question? Yes. Let me come to the combined ratio and the equity ratio. Was just referring to the outlook. I wanted to refer to the outlook and say we stick to this, but I can go into more detail, no problem. So in the first 6 months, we had a combined ratio of 98.4%, which includes exceptionally high net cat elements and a higher runoff. Now, you could normalize this if you want to by net cat. So how much is this above our general assumption of 2%? And what would be a sustainable runoff by calculating between 2.5 and 3%? And if you do this, our normalized combined ratio is at 97 or at 98%, whether you take a more or less conservative approach. And in the second half of the year, we are expecting a loss ratio of around 72%. And if expenses and runoff develop as we expect them, then we expect a combined ratio of 97 or better for the end of the year, that is to say, compared to the year 2009, a clear improvement. But this depends on the net cat development in the second half of the year. And I would like to underline that in the United States and in other markets, the hurricane season is still going on, and I wouldn't want to state a clear figure in under these difficult surroundings, but nevertheless, as we stick to this goal, we clearly stick to this goal, then the equity ratio, 8% on the 31st of December, and now we're at 7%. We think that it's the right level. It was influenced by many factors. We had high volatility, a strong, clear drop in the second quarter, and now a recovery, but we want to remain cautious in this field, and rating agencies have higher charges for outright equity holdings, and therefore we have to take a close look at trying to find the right mix and trying to find the right amount of equities in our portfolio. We believe that equities are a highly interesting asset class, and if regulatory surroundings and accounting allow this, we would like to invest more in equities. Okay, next question. Next question is by Sebastian Jost of Die Welt. Okay, good morning. Three questions from myself. First of all, the internal competition between Allianz Global Investors and PIMCO. Maybe you could tell us a few words about what we can expect here for the future. Will they offer the same product segments or product classes, and will they be competing across the board, or what's the plan there? And then I wanted to know if you could give us an update on your sovereign exposure. And I think I remember that Mr. Achleitner in the AGM said that you wanted to make a contribution for the stabilization of the confusing situation in Europe at the time, in the Eurozone, and what has happened there in the meantime. And then the third question, a little bit away from your business itself, the topic of being underinsured, and in the discussions, if you think about BP and the oil catastrophe, for example, or the Love Parade catastrophe, and the question whether the company that run the the love parades, whether they were sufficiently insured. So now you're not responsible for this in any way, but do you think there should be a higher degree of obligatory insurance in for cases like this? Okay, let me start with the last topic. I'm against obligatory insurances in general, because I think this addresses topics in a way that isn't adapted to the complexity of the individual events. But I want to take aside public events such as the love parade, so this is a different category, but large companies always ask themselves the question of whether they want to go to the market with their risks or whether they want to keep the risk in the company. And I think, or I believe, that the topic of BP will lead many companies to rethink their approach there. And this is also linked to the question of the handing out of licenses, where this question might play a larger role in the future. Then AGI and PIMCO, how will this happen? Will in a few years, will we have full product competition? Well, this might be. I believe that the requirements from the point of view of the customers, if you look at PIMCO especially, that the customers have a large interest in the fact that the successful management approach of PIMCO could also be seen in other product lines, and PIMCO is also interested in a probably changing interest surroundings to offer other product lines, so that assets could then be handed on to the third asset managers. So we need to have a consistent strategy. PIMCO used to be in this business in the past, and currently, it is being accepted well by the market, so we think we have a positive development there. And the second question, Mr. Beta, was, I think, to you. Yes, sovereign exposures. We had published in the first quarter that there was a large degree of discussion in the first quarter, and that is why we, of course, took this into account. But now the situation has much changed. The credit spreads are much larger now in the United States than for corporates in Greece. 3 months ago, it was completely different. Our exposure towards the PIC states, as they are called, and I don't like this term, we had a portfolio reshifting. They were reduced from 14 to 9 billion in the framework of this standard portfolio reshifting. And any special political approaches to support Greece, there were no activities like this from your side. No. Only what's known publicly. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, if you want to ask a question, please press asterisk and 1. On your keypad. The next question by Jean-Philippe Lecour. Good morning and bonjour from Frankfurt. In the second quarter is much better than the second quarter 2009, but compared to 2008, you see a clear increase of revenue, but in the operating result there is a clear decrease. And in your two core business lines, P&C and Life Health, there's a clear reduction. Or in PC, there's a clear reduction in stagnation in Life Health. So the question would be, what is the basis you would wish to take? There's a lot to do in order to return the operating result to results of the past. But that would be my first question. And then regarding France, you introduced the Allianz brand. You, Mr. Diekmann, were satisfied with the acceptance of the brand by customers, but it doesn't seem to have an effect on revenues so far. Or how do you think the situation is like on the difficult market that France is? And the last question on insurance protection after the natural catastrophes. Do you think you can expect price increases in some insurance segments? Well, thank you very much for your questions. Let me start with what's normal and what is extraordinary. This new normal that I underlined several times, we use this to show that the comparison to the very good years 2007 and the runoff in 2008 is not the base we should take. And I think if we look at the development of our ongoing investment, this clearly shows that the high income that we reached in these years, also in the good investment year 2008, cannot be extrapolated. That forces us, of course, but this is a homework for each and every company, to work on our operating profits. This is about technical margins, this is about expenses that we have to take into account. But, and this is what Mr. Beta tried to explain to you, I see a very good approach there and a very good basis as our assets under management are growing, and they offer a certain compensation over time. And the situation in France is, well, we are cautiously optimistic, I would say. France is going through a difficult market development, but on the P&C side, you shouldn't forget that a large part of competitors, especially in the motor business, is being done by the mutuals, and they are in a very strong market position, and Allianz France has to deal with this, and they will have to work on their cost structures. Other than that, everything that I hear from France, and I just visited the management of France and we talked to them, there's a highly positive development across the business, and from the distribution side we see a positive development. So I'm not skeptical at all. With the newly set up management, we are ambitious there, and the other topic you mentioned is clearly linked to the topics we just talked about. There will be selective price increases in many markets. That is something the industry has told us for years, but now there are specific signs for the fact that the markets are hardening, and but price increases are not always the right answer to every market situation. Every company will have to work hard on setting up the right framework regarding claims, regarding costs and expenses and all that. Okay, thank you very much. Next question, please. The next question is by Oliver Sisby, Bloomberg. Good morning. I have two questions. First of all, concerning asset management. Positive situation in asset management, that's clear. And from your point of view, is that more a priority to grow organically after the Cominvest situation, and or do you also think about acquisitions? And the second question, in the second quarter you said you were highly cautious regarding capital investments in Munich Re 2 days ago. What I understood is that in the second quarter they realized a large degree of investment gains. Could you explain what's the reason for your caution regarding realizing these gains? Well, asset management, I can give you a clear answer on this. We think and believe in organic growth in all areas. We have set up ourselves up in a way that this is possible. This is also true for the insurance business. So acquisitions would be nice if they were fitting correctly, but they are not necessary under the current situation. The question of Munich Re dealing with the capital investment, that's not something I can answer. This is something Munich Re has to answer, and as Mr. Beta underlined, we had a negative market situation in the equities market, and that is why we didn't want to realize in this market. And on the bond side, we are holding bonds in order to use the relatively high interest rates we're getting from them for the long term, and this is the simple explanation.
Next question, please. Next question comes from James Wilson, Financial Times, please. Yes, good morning. Just a very short question with regard to low interest. Is it now time that the Federal Reserve banks go back to normal, or would the risk for double dip to be too big if they would do that? What do you think? Well, I've been commenting that for 1 year. We need to take out liquidity because a liquidity which cannot be given, which is not given back to the economic circle. So it lies with those large banks. And I think from an economic standpoint, it makes sense to come back to normal conditions. The interest environment that we currently see at the moment is too low. That means this does not control the risks too much, and this might build up a problem that we have to talk about in 24 months. That's why there's urgent need to reduce this liquidity. And I don't think that this will cut off the economic business or trends, because this liquidity has not really reached the economy yet. Thank you very much. Next question, please. One more remark from Jonathan Gould from Reuters. We cannot hear you. We cannot hear you. And that's better? Perfect. Thank you. My question is about Solvency II. You mentioned various problems. Would you rather see the new capital rules to be launched later, or only a partial application that you would rather favor? While you see that you still have major problems about Solvency II, you're talking about a really ambitious time scale for that, time plan for that. And if you're confident, that's my second question, if you're confident about an operating profit of 2.7 billion euros, would you also be confident with regard to your net income? What would be the level for that? Well, the net income, we never state that, not even in the outlook, because there's too many impacts coming from the capital markets. You can't make a forecast. In a normal environment, you have a tax ratio, and that results into the operating profit, but it's subject to fluctuation. And that's why we only state the operating profit as a target figure, further to the launch or the implementation of Solvency II. We're ready for it, but it just needs to be reasonable. And if it takes a bit longer in order to reach reasonable framework conditions, then this would help the entire industry, but also the larger economy, and that would be quite important for the larger economy. And it's more complex. It's not just Solvency II, which is complex as such, but what is the interplay between the various economies, accounting, rating, which is a mixed picture where you have to ensure that the cross-functional impact would not lead to unexpected consequences like pro-cyclical conduct or limiting the investment activity, which would place a burden on the customers, but also would deteriorate German economy, not only having large institutional investors coming outside from the insurance industry. So these are all the points that have to be considered before making too fast decisions. So intensively talking about that in order The normal time frame, I think this would be nice if that would happen, but we don't believe that this can be done in this normal time frame. That means for 2013, right, yeah. Do we have any further questions? One question from Ulrike Dahl from Dow Jones. Yes, good morning. Some analysts talk about turnaround in credit insurance and U.S. life. Do you agree with that? Or would you think there's still work to be done? What's your current view? Further to U.S. life, we have made significant advance with regard to reduction of volatility in the balance sheet and the risks coming from the product by repricing and strong product changes and strengthening the balance sheet. So we have well advanced here. We've made progress here. But despite the capital market, there's proximity. There's always the volatility. But the no interest level also have an influence on the margins on fixed income annuities. There are a few more jobs to be done in the third and fourth quarter. We have to work on reducing the accounting volatility, which is quite high in Easy Life. But we've made progress. I think we're in a well set. We're not ready yet. When it comes to credit insurance, we do see a true turnaround in the results. After really bad income in the past 2 years, we have seen positive runoff and positive results because we have conservatively developed. When it comes to reserves on revenue side, we have to wait how and whether the market comes back to utilizing credit insurances. We believe this is an irreplaceable product and reckon with a recovery of demand, but it might take until the revenue growth comes back to the historical levels. Well, these would be our service observations with regard to credit insurances. Do we have open questions? One further question from Christian Kramer from Reuters. Two questions, actually. The first one, the return on capital investments. Can you mention that for the second quarter and might be able to give a forecast for the third quarter? And Deepwater Horizon doesn't play a role. Do you have a figure for that? Well, with regard to the figure, if there is an exposure, then this would be in a very low one-digit million area. This is negligible. And I don't want to say where this comes from, but we're not exposed there. Further to returns, we are stating them in our documents on page 19 and page 26, which are the current returns and profits from interest and others, and on the basis of the book value for shares, it was 2.25% and 0.93 base points in the second quarter on the annuities in P&C, and 1.77 in equity in life, and 1.11% for the fixed income in life insurance. I was searching for the group, one figure for the enhanced group. That does not make sense because it's only important on a segment-specific basis. The duration is different because the passive side is much longer than the longer than in the P&C, and we're controlling our investment is separated according to P&C and life. Thank you very much. Any further questions? No further questions. So I'd like to pass back the floor to you for final comments. Thank you for the German punctuality in the Q&A session, and hopefully you can enjoy an Italian summer. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of our today's conference. Thank you very much for all the parties that have taken part, and wish you a nice day. Thank you.